that was Bombay Bicycle Club's song Ghost. They're a new young Australian indie band, and I quite like the sound of them, so they're a band to keep an eye on in the future, I'd say. Now, joining us on the panel is Christian Fletcher. Welcome, Christian.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Now, Christian is our special guest for this live edition of Arts Hour, and he's going to be talking to us a little bit later about some of the events he organises, both retro and vintage music and video sessions or film sessions. But we're going to continue with what's on in Brisbane at the moment with Larissa's picks for the coming the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to start with the Powerhouse. And there's a new Martin Parr visual exhibition called No Worries. And he's an English photographer. He's kind of known for his satire, like irrelevant view of the world and like subjects. Mm-hmm. And this exhibition looks at Australian cliches of work and plays and gives us an outside view of every day. That sounds interesting. And that starts on the 26th of September of July to September 25th, and that's at the Powerhouse, and that's for free. Also at the Powerhouse, you've got your Live Spark, which is the music, all kinds of genres, and the Live Wired, which is a comedy, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's at the Turbine platform, and that's also for free.
Now, there's a bunch of Indonesian events coming up as well that are run through the Powerhouse. Is that right?
Oh, yes. We've got
You're an Indonesian princess, so you know about these things.
Bring that up.
Hey, you may have even orchestrated them. Who knows?
I organised it all. It's called the Pasar Rakyat. I don't even know what that means. I should know. But that's the 2012. It's described as fantastical celebration of all things Indonesian, which is pretty good because it's like the closest country to us. I don't know if you...
But one of those really underrepresented countries as well, I find. Yeah.
So it's going to be food, music, dance, and for the first time, Indonesian toys, which is pretty cool. I don't even know. Indonesian toys.
I read that there's a band playing, an orchestra playing at the Powerhouse on the 9th of August called, and I'll probably mispronounce this one, Ethnotic Gamelan Orchestra. They're a Sudanese-based ethno-fusion orchestra.
Wow.
And they're playing in the Turbines. This is the actual open section in the center of the Powerhouse as like a prelude to the Nan Jombang dance, which is later on that evening.
Sounds
and
awesome.
Is part of the Indonesian festival.
Yeah. That's cool.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, 9th of August.
And sounds like the perfect venue for it too, actually.
Yeah, I think it'd be a great night. Have you been through to the Powerhouse a lot?
Yeah, actually. I used to do a little bit of publicity for some of their events back in the day.
Cool.
So, you know, but I think, yeah, it's still a really cool, you know, cool hip place to hang out, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
And they're trying to reach out more to students at the moment as well. So if you're a student, there's plenty of free events on at the Powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what else have we got on at the moment?
We've got a Korean Multicultural Festival.
Mm-hmm.
That's at the 28th between 1 and 4 at King George Square. So even if you're not intentionally going to that, you might pass through and, you know, there's dances and taekwondo demonstrations and music by the Queensland Korean Choir and Queensland Korean Orchestra, which is interesting as well.
Mm, lots of cut sounds in that.
There's lots. I struggled with that. And this is like, these two events are like, not in the new... They're in, like, a month or two, but I just want to bring them up. So we've got the Brisbane Billy Cart Festival, and that's at Carindale. I didn't even know we had,
fantastic.
Like... Yeah, it sounds awesome. And 8th of September is the Brisbane Shakespeare Festival, so mark your calendars for that.
Be sure to look out for photos of Larissa at the Billy Cart Festival on the Arts Hour website, please.
So will you be designing your own Billy Cart then?
If I'll look into it, I've always wanted to.
I'm happy to put in a house submission for the Billy Cart Comedy. Larissa and I, we live together, so I think, 24.
So we do expect those photos, I think.
Yeah, we will. Okay.
It's going to happen. Okay, and I suppose in terms of the art world, Steph's going to run us through some of the upcoming openings around Brisbane, and we might even talk a little bit about GOMA, Prado, and the associated film festivals.
Yeah, so this last weekend the Prado exhibit at GOMA opened and they had a whole heap of activities to celebrate that. So, yeah, it's going to be on... I don't actually know the exact dates, but I think it will be there for a few months. I will
normally runs for 3 or 4 months.
I think there's 3 month brackets. That will be awesome. But I have a number of gallery openings this week in Brisbane. So the Heiser Gallery are opening a new selection of, like, they're exhibiting a new selection of works by John Movig and Ian Smith. I'm mm-hmm. not sure what that... Well, I had a look, and they look pretty cool.
And where's that gallery, the Heiser Gallery?
Heiser Gallery. I'm pretty sure that's in Fortitude Valley.
Cool.
This will all be online on our Happenings page.
Yeah, on the Arts Hour webpage, yep. WordPress.
Artshour.wordpress.com.
That's it.
Yes. So that's happening on Tuesday, this Tuesday, so they have a new selection of things opening then. On Friday at Ryan Renshaw Gallery, also in Fortitude Valley, he's opening, so there's a new exhibit of Charles Robb's work called Shaky Ground. I'm not quite sure what that is. I think it might be, I'm not sure if it's installation based or sculpture. I can't remember at the moment, but I should probably have come more prepared. Sorry, guys.
So it's why you have to visit our Arts Hour webpage.
Yeah, this is, I'm just doing this incentive. To lead us web traffic. Also, QCA's, there's a new exhibit opening there called Chromophilia, and I think I'm going to go to this because it looks really cool.
Mm. QCA do a lot of good events. Yeah, Queensland so the, College of Art down at South Bank.
Yeah, so it's student artists, and Chromophilia, so it means an abnormal attraction to colour, and so nice. All the art is... you know, based on that kind of theme.
They're I'm imagining a lot of vivid
yeah,
artworks.
So I think I've noticed like a number of like really colour-focused shows coming out of students from QCA, either who are still there or just have recently graduated. So that'll definitely be cool. That's also on Friday night. So Ryan Renshaw and QCA on Friday night. And then on Saturday, The Hangar in Red Hill, they're opening a show called Clear Skins, and Brooke Ferguson, so she's... works with the Artist Run Initiative current projects. She's curated a show of these four female artists who were originally from Northern Queensland and now are currently living in Brisbane. And so she's kind of, it's called Clear Skins. It's a one night only event and it's looking at whether the move from Northern Queensland to Brisbane has affected their artist's practice. So that's from 5 to 7pm. And I also forgot to mention on Wednesday night, go to Metro Arts because there are two openings there. So one by Current Projects and the other by Metro Arts Allies Program. Where the Bloody Hell Are You in, by Current Projects is on level 3. And it's, again, a one night only thing. It's a video work by the emerging duo Clark Beaumont. Again, I think I'm going to go to that because it looks kind of cool.
And there's free drinks at a lot of these events, isn't
I'm
there?
I'm not yeah. meant to advertise that. But yes.
I see. It's not supposed to be an incentive
yeah.
either.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but yes. And then Across the Sea, so they're both video works that are being open this Wednesday at Metro Arts that I would really recommend checking out. Yeah.
Great. Now, Larissa has a couple of upcoming events that she wanted to run through that perhaps
yes.
Christian could talk about as she mentions them.
Okay. So this Wednesday, we've got a Baz Luhrmann double. And Friday, we've got a 1980s party. Did Christian want to expand on that?
They sound very up my alley. I'm thinking they sound quite familiar. So back in April, I started off doing events at the Blue Room over in Rosalie, which is great to be able to get my get in there and be able to do some of this vintage, or I suppose, old school stuff. So with the Great Gatsby coming out, I think in December, actually, the Baz Luhrmann film, which, you know, he hasn't had one for a while. I think I might try and forget that Australia happened. Yeah. But going back to more, the more nostalgic Baz Luhrmann stuff, we've got Moulin Rouge and Romeo and Juliet on the big screen. Now, in this day of digital, which a lot of cinemas are upgrading to now, we're actually screening the films on the original 35mm print, which is actually, to a lot of people, they'll scratch their heads going, what does that really mean? But to be able to see these films as they were originally intended to be seen, I just wish they were older so we could make the most of it more. But tickets are still available for that, so head to blueroomcinebar.com for information about that. So I'm slowly starting to get a few more things in there in the next few months, so keep a lookout. So I know they just did a midnight screening of all the Batman movies with the new one coming out, so of course I rub my hands with delight and go... Can I get some 70s and 80s horror maybe in there?
Awesome.
But and on Friday, we're screening a 1982 Gillian Armstrong film called Starstruck. Now, I've only really stumbled on this film recently, but it's one of those films that as soon as you mention it, everyone seems to go, oh, my God, I remember seeing that back at the Hoyts Regent back in the day. So... we're screening that, followed by 3 hours of 80s music videos, or to be more correct, maybe 2 hours, 45 minutes, but we'll see how we go with the lengths of the film. So that'll be over at Tribal Theatre on Friday, and no bookings required for that one. So as you can see, with the sort of things that I do, it's, I suppose, retro. A lot of people hate the word retro. I think they think it's a dirty word, but I think in many ways, a lot of people are seeing it as quite cool at the moment, especially when you see some of the newer stuff on offer. It makes you sort of want to go back into the past and sort of dig into that stuff. So
definitely. Now, Larissa, did you have anything else in terms of what's coming up to talk about before we throw to a song?
Not too much, no.
All right. Well, in that case, we might throw to Architecture in Helsinki's Hard at Races, and then we might talk to Christian a little bit about some other events that he's putting on or that he might recommend as well coming up over the coming month or so. So this is Architecture in Helsinki, Hard at Races, and you're listening to Monday Drive. That was Architecture in Helsinki's Hard at Races. You're listening to Drive. I'm Carl Smith, and joining me today are Steph Duras, Larissa Willems, Nicole Rolls, and Christian Fletcher, our special guest for Arts Hour. How are you doing, Christian?
Great, thank you.
Now, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about some of the events coming up over the next week or two or three that you would recommend, some of the events that you're running or organising, but also any other events that you think might fit into that genre as well that you're excited about.
Well, I definitely think with a few of the things you've mentioned earlier, we've got a lot of that covered, but I definitely always recommend to check out the Gallery of Modern Art for the cinema side of things. Now, they have a lot of things coming through. I know I mentioned before about digital cinema. They get a lot of the 35mm prints. So in many ways, it's like going to a museum for cinema. And I definitely recommend a lot of the things they've got on there. There's always screenings throughout the day and on Friday nights. Now, they've got the Mummy Festival at the moment, which is obviously at the museum. They're also doing their After Dark program there at GOMA, which includes some, I'm not sure offhand of what the films are, but I know they're screening some movies as part of the After Dark program with music and all that sort of stuff as well. So great. I definitely recommend heading over to GOMA. They've been a big inspiration, and apparently I'm a big inspiration to them too. So it's good to see that we're working quite well together. Now, I'm actually going down to Melbourne. Oh, people go, are we going to lose you for a few days? Only for a few days, that's all. I will definitely be coming back to Brisbane. I just need to get re-inspired, I think. But I'll be back next week, and I'm looking forward to, we've got a bit of a John Waters movie double coming up at Tribal Theatre. Now,
I'm a big fan of John Waters. What are you playing?
We're actually showing Pink Flamingos, completely uncensored and uncut, which I believe, I'm not even sure if we're even allowed to screen in Queensland. That's the only version I've ever screened. And a lot of people have said a lot of scenes have been cut out of prints that they've seen, but no, we're screening it completely uncensored. Now, a lot of people, the John Waters name might be known through like Hairspray and Crybaby and films like that, but let's dig back probably to 1972 with one of his, one of his most revolting but one of the most hilarious films. You'll be rolling around whilst also vomiting a little bit in your mouth.
It's horrible. There's a montage party scene that I'll never be able to wipe from my brain.
And I think I know the bits you're referring to as well.
There's a byline for that film that I'm trying to remember. I think it's along the lines of the world's most disgusting person or something.
Yeah, the filthiest people alive. And I think it sums it up in a nutshell with Variety called it one of the most vile, stupid and repulsive films ever made. And someone also said it's like a septic tank explosion. You can't help but look. So for those people who are probably a bit unsure, I hope I haven't scared you off now. Gosh, it is a very rare screening to see this film. It was never released on DVD in Australia. You could probably see it and wonder what and know exactly why. So we're screening it with John Waters' most recent film. Some people might know, A Dirty Shame, which is probably more of a sort of his return true to form in 2004 with Tracy Ullman and Selma Blair. Now, that's screening on Thursday the 2nd and Wednesday the 8th of August at Tribal Theatre. Tickets are for $13 for the double, and it's from 6:30. So, but on the other side of things, I'm going to go from so horrible, sorry, John, to the other scheme of things. I also do a concept called Classic Movies in the Suburbs. Now, this is getting the old vintage Rita Hayworth, Cary Grant. Half the listeners are probably scratching their head going, who are you talking about? But we're starting to screen these films at Woolloongabba Antique Centre, which is quite an awesome venue. Now,
I live just around the corner from there. It's a great spot.
It's perfect for it. And I've been sort of doing this concept since February, and we've been doing bowls clubs and RSLs. And I think a lot of people think, oh, if you're not a member, you can't go, and all that sort of stuff. So then I stumbled on the Antique Centre and went, wow, what I love the idea of taking film to a place that you wouldn't necessarily see it. So we're screening a 1950 film called Born Yesterday, and Rita Hayworth in her classic role in Gilda. Now, that's screening as a double feature from 11:30 on the 4th of August. That's not this Saturday, but next. And there's an hour and a half break in between where you can browse the wares of the Antique Centre, which I think would work quite well because the films are pretty much antiques in themselves as well. So we've gone from one end to the other with that. So, and of course, for those out there who've probably heard of Tommy Wiseau's The Room, which has been quite, it's pretty much put tribal theatre on the map, actually. And so we've been screening that monthly, and the screenings are getting bigger and better each month. So on Tuesday, the 14th of August, which is the day before the Eka holiday, where I'm screening the film again at tribal theatre. And I definitely recommend going along. I say to people, it's Rocky Horror without the fishnets, if you don't. And because I'm known in Brisbane for my Rocky Horror screening, so it's good to be able to put on something that I suppose other people can go along to, where they think, I don't necessarily want to go to something that my parents used to go and see back in the day, so it's something a bit more cooler. So not saying that Rocky Horror isn't cool, but you know where I'm getting at.
People need to bring more spoons, I've noticed.
Well, the funny thing is, last screening we had, I think we provided 100. By the end of the screening, I was collecting... It would have been thousands.
Look, just to recap for listeners who aren't in the know, is one of the worst films ever made, and it's become a tradition whenever this film screens to throw spoons at the screen.
It's amazing.
And our last screening, unfortunately, we'd cropped, due to the framing of the screen, some of the scenes were cropped out. You couldn't see the spoons. People were even yelling, going, this is the scene. Like, they know it so well. I actually, this week, interviewed Juliet Daniel, who plays Lisa, and I actually came out and said to her, I said, was this film supposed to be so bad? And she said they were actually on the set holding back laughter, but really she's like, well, Tommy thinks it's serious, so we'll just tell him it is. We'll just act like it is. So I'm trying to get in touch with as much of the cast as I can, but I'm sort of avoiding interviewing Tommy because apparently he's quite a bizarre man. So I'll leave that up to the pros.
All right. Well, we might go to the 5 o'clock news now, but after we finish, we'll return and Christian's going to talk to us a little bit about, you know, how he got involved with this industry and some of the bigger and more exciting events that he's been a part of over the last, I think it's 12 years that he's been doing this now. So we're going to pass over to Nicole Rolls to the 5 o'clock news. You're listening to Drive on Jack Radio.
This is Jack, jacradio.com.au. Jack Radio.
Welcome to Jack Radio News for Drive. I'm Nicole Rolls, and right now it's 5:02. Anyone who was expecting to take a shortcut through the new airport link last weekend would have been disappointed. The opening of the $4.8 billion Brisbane City Council initiative has been delayed again from its original completion date on June 30. The CEO of BrisConnections, the company in charge of the link's construction, was meant to receive the road's new completion certificate on Friday for its weekend opening. But a spokesperson for the company says a lot still has to be checked. The airport link will add 6 lanes of capacity to the inner north, taking traffic off the super busy Bowen Bridge and Lutwyche roads. Agents from the Israeli intelligence group Mossad in Europe, on the hunt for an Iranian terror cell, feared to be planning an attack on Israeli Olympic athletes. British police and military are working alongside Israeli security team Shin Bet to ensure the safety of the 38 athletes. It's been 40 years since the Munich massacre, which saw the killing of 11 Israeli athletes and coaches by Palestinians at the Olympic Games. And fears of a repeat of the massacre have been heightened after the deaths of 5 Israeli tourists in a bus bombing in Hungary last week. Melbourne forward Jeremy Howe has been sent directly to the AFL tribunal over a charge of wiping his blood on an opponent's shorts. The match review panel charged Howe with wiping blood from his knee on Port Adelaide player Tom Jonas's shorts in the Demons' loss to Port Adelaide in Darwin at the weekend. Right now it's 18 degrees in St Lucia. I'm Nicole Rolls and you're listening to Drive.
Thanks, Nicole. Thanks, Nicole. You're listening to Drive on Mondays. I'm Carl Smith, and joining me are Steph Duras, my co-host for Arts Hour, Larissa Williams, who is joining us today as the representative from Weird World, and will be playing you some cool punk music later on, and Christian Fletcher. And we're going to talk to Christian a little bit about how he got into the industry that he's involved in now. So how did it all begin?
Okay, well, believe it or not, it actually began on UQ campus here, right at St. Lucia here, back at the Chanel. Now, whilst everyone was dreaming of being teachers and all this sort of stuff at school, I wanted to start a Rocky Horror Floor Show cast in grade 12. And even though I did go on to study a little bit of, my background is public relations and marketing, and I did a little bit of teaching in my studies, I was secretly, as I said, wanting to start these Rocky Horror screenings. I'd become obsessed with this movie in grade 11.
Tell us a bit more about the floor screen, because this is where you have live actors down in front of the actual film, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, for a lot of people might be familiar with hearing about the midnight screenings in America, and I know there were casts in Sydney and Melbourne at the time that we started, and we pretty much have a cast that act out the entire movie in front of the screen. So people might go, oh, that sounds so tacky, but really, this is the ultimate experience. This is the only way you really should watch this film. So even if you've never seen it, actually, take that back. See it first and then come to one of the screenings, because the audience does go out of control. Like what we were mentioning before about The Room, this is something, I suppose, that now parents can bring their kids along to, well, of a certain age, and enjoy. So it's definitely a real cult phenomenon, and I think it's only fitting that, I suppose, the ultimate cult movie was what got me into running all these events. I then realised that, hey, there's all these other weird and wonderful movies out there, and almost 12 years later we're still doing the Rocky Horror screening, still at Chanel every now and then too, and which is great. And but just being able to it opened you mentioned Weird World before. I thought you were talking about my events. It seemed so fitting. There's just such an interest out there, but it's not also the as I said before about retro. A lot of people worry that that's it's a bit of a dirty word, you know. And I also use the word cult, and I think any film can have a cult following. It can even be a classic good film like Wizard of Oz and Casablanca, and it just opened a can of worms for me, and it made me realise that there was all this other great way and other ways to exhibit films too. And I've really become fascinated with film audiences and what makes people go to see movies. And Brisbane's got that quirky quality. We only just heard before about all the wonderful and weird things happening in this city, and there's just so much culture out there. So to be able to do the film side of things, which is all the movie side of things, is great. So, but I've been in 2005 I started doing retro parties as well, and there goes that dirty word again. And it's really great seeing the younger audiences wanting to embrace it, and they don't mind sort of going to a nightclub and hearing 80s music and dancing with all these 40-year-olds. It sort of bridges the gap between the generations.
I think that's an interesting question, actually. Like, the kinds of... what kind of, like, people come along to the events? Like, is the audience really, like, diverse and different? Is there a big age difference, or...?
Well, it's interesting. I've had someone say to me recently, like, one of my screenings, actually, at the Blue Room, they came up to me and said, what is this? And they weren't there for that particular movie. And I said, oh, it's, you know, a dirty dancing Princess Bride double. I thought it was quite normal.
Good
but they were
Good
quite
combo.
Surprised that, you know, you had 10 people in the audience over there dressed like pirates. And you had people in this over here, you know, the 18-year-olds, you had the 40-year-olds. It was just people said that I seem to attract a real diverse range of people. And I think that's to do with how I promote my events and how I come across to my events are for everybody. And in many ways, it's... dare I say, educational, I suppose, or informative. You know, it's giving people a bit of an education into film history. And, you know, I'll get a lot of people come up to me and go, have you seen this movie, this movie, this movie? And I'll scratch my head, because in many ways I'm learning as well too. You know,
of course.
I'm all still... And I've done a lot of work at a lot of different venues. So I've worked in venues from the Powerhouse to the Metro Arts. I ran cult films once a month at Metro Arts for a year and a half. And then a few of you might remember the Globe Theatre over in Fortitude Valley. I was behind all the cult cinema events there. And we ran for about 3 years a double feature twice a week. So
I was really sad when that one closed down.
Yeah, yeah, it's a shame. But I'm so glad that Tribal's now, you know, we've now got Tribal's in the middle of the city. But even going from the Fortitude Valley to the city, you've got a totally different demographic. But I'm now seeing, now I'm almost 30, and I'm seeing now the sort of the next generation coming through, and sort of people that kind of like, we'll take your word for it, we're here, we don't know what the movies are, but we're just going to sit and, you know, almost see you as an educator, I suppose. So
well, actually, that ties in with the question I wanted to ask you, which is, so I just did my tax recently. And you have to, in your tax, choose what your profession is at some point. What do you put down as your profession when you fill out your tax?
Can I? It's actually going to be really boring, but I think it's something as lame as event coordinator and publicist.
Okay.
I really should put something like cult. Yeah, I should. You know, I don't think there's enough
other
spaces.
I want you to put other and then write, you know, like Rocky Horror Specialist or something extremely tangential.
No, don't do that. You'll get your tax sent back probably. It'll be awful.
No, you'll make the ATO's night. You know, when they see that one after looking through thousands of others, they'll be like, okay, finally.
As long as I don't come back with a get a real job.
Oh, gosh.
Well, how I think about it, someone's got to do it, you know. And it irks me when people say, Brisbane doesn't have things happening. And, you dig down deep. You don't have to dig too deep. There's an audience for everything everywhere, you know. Just because you live in Brisbane doesn't mean you're not interested in seeing the Kiss movie from the late, 70s.
Yeah. That was one of the best ones.
Oh, gosh, you know. But
I think the fact that you've been doing this for 12 years, it proves that there are, if you give people something like this, they will go. I think there's definitely a market in Brisbane. And I think it's interesting. I was just wondering, so the people that come along to the shows, have most of them already seen the movies, or it's a bit of a mix, as again, like you were saying, with diversity and stuff?
Well, a lot of times the people have seen it and they want to see it again on the big screen. Yeah. And in many ways, I like to package my events as, you know, I mean, my movies as events, because, you know, like I still do double features, which is so old school. The only thing missing is the usherette selling cigarettes down the aisle, you know, but obviously within reason, you know, we can't really do that. But like
candy cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly.
Fads.
Yeah. Can't have the red tips on the end anymore. But for example, I started off an event called Weird Wednesdays at Tribal Theatre in 2010, just as a bit of a whim, because I'm like, well, you know, because that's the thing, with any movie there's rights and it's a real muddy area, like I won't go into details about all that, but I started up doing that because I'm like, I wanted to start showing really cinematic underbelly, someone said, which I love, you know. And 2.5 years later, I'm still running Weird Wednesdays because people keep turning up every month, and it's great to see people that have been coming to my events since the very first one at Chanel in 2000 and are now sort of, as I said before, sort of almost like, well, we're in safe hands. We'll just, you know, we'll go. We'll don't know what's on, but we'll take your word for it. So,
So I was going to say we might jump to a quick song and then come back. And I wanted to ask you especially about, I suppose, the Brisbane subculture and, you know, whether it is still alive today, which I believe it is, and I think you believe it is, and what it looks like. But this is Massive Attack's Teardrop First, and you're listening to Drive on Jack Radio. Was Massive Attack's Teardrop, which many of you might recognise as the theme song to House. Which is pretty cool.
I was thinking of that Weird Baby.
Which Weird Baby?
Oh, yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. Like that fetus thing in the opening shots.
Oh, okay. Fetus in a jar.
Oh,
what
are
you
talking about?
Isn't that film clip like...
For Massive Attack? Maybe? I'm thinking about the House credits now.
Okay.
Oh, God.
I swear it is.
Sounds like a movie I screened last week.
And that reminds me, Christian Fletcher is here.
Sorry, that wasn't your suggestion there. But
so Christian has been running cult and retro movie events and dance parties for the last 12 years now. And he was just mentioning when he was talking about some of his events before that Brisbane's one of those places where you kind of have to look to find interesting events like this. But I kind of feel that when you found them, when you understand the subculture of Brisbane, then it's an amazing place to be. Do you feel much the same?
Oh, definitely. You know, and I think, you know, definitely in the last few years, I've noticed it more, like starting doing these things in 2000. I've even noticed more sort of maybe since 2005, if I can pinpoint an actual year, not that it's actually been that per se, you know, but I've noticed, yeah, it's becoming sort of, you know, a lot of people are moving up here and there's more, I don't know, more avenues and more venues to be able to put these things on. And I think, you know, that's why I've persisted at it for so long, because I know I'm nowhere near where I should be yet. You know, if I keep doing this, you know, it'll eventually get to a stage where, you know, Brisbane becomes this hub. And I had a Facebook message actually last week, and I thought this was the best thing ever. You know, why are there cool events like this happening in Melbourne? And well, I'm like, didn't have the heart to say there actually are, but you know, hey, they might fly up and come to something. So
let's pretend for now that these things don't happen in Melbourne, and all those Melbourneites that have, you know, or Brisbaneites that have become Melbourneites need to come back up here and live in Brisbane.
No,
again.
I think stay down there. Sorry, that's how I feel. I'm so bitter. But I just think, Jesus, if you are whingy enough to leave to go to Melbourne, stay there. It's so annoying.
You know what my theory is? My theory is that it's easy to be cool in Melbourne. In that, like, you can move down to Melbourne and you don't have to search to find all these cool events and meet all these interesting people, because you step outside and it's very busy. There's a huge emphasis on culture there. So you can, you know, step outside, walk down the street, and there's, you know, a cult screening of a film or whatever. In Brisbane, you really have to search to find it.
I don't think you do, though, Carl. You keep saying that and I keep kind of cringing a little bit, because
really?
I think you don't have to search that much.
But I think what he's getting at is once you have to search for the very first time initially,
yes.
And once you find it, you know, like as I was saying before, I've had people coming to my screenings for years and years now because, you know, in many ways, they're cult films, so in many ways it's a cult following of its own. But yeah, I think, you know,
think
once you have to initially.
I think we have, like, cultural institutions that are becoming way more established, but what's even more impressive is that, like, because everyone knows what GOMA is, everyone knows what the Powerhouse is, everyone knows about Queensland Museum and these big institutions. So they are kind of established. But I think what's more impressive is, like, these little things that keep popping up, like, you know, these movie nights that you're doing at Tribal, and, like, even I think that's so cool that you're doing something at the Antique Centre. Like, that is amazing. I totally want to take my mum to that, and I don't know if that's a bit dorky, but I do.
It's not dorky, you know. The thing is, I've been doing, as I mentioned before, you know, doing them at the bowls clubs and all that, and we were doing them during the day and during the week, and I had so many people emailing me going, you know, like 17-year-olds going, but we want to see these movies too.
Yeah.
So it made me go, okay, a Saturday afternoon seems to be the way
to
go.
And I think, like, there's such, I think, people in Brisbane are really getting over that idea that, you know, we're like this cultural wasteland, I've heard us called before, and there are
Brisbane Vegas, makes me so sad.
Oh, oh no.
It's great.
I heard at one stage they were actually going to put try and do the Hollywood-style letters up somewhere on, like, on the hill up at Bowen Hills, and
mouth.
I'm like, going, oh.
<That's> horrible.
You'd rather sit through Pink Flamingos, yeah. I think.
No, but I think, yeah, I think there's definitely, as, like, Christian's career shows, that there is, like, a demand for creative, like, kind of random but cool events going on. I think I'm just so impressed. Like, I was out on Friday night and just walking in South Bank. Like, I know that's where the kind of, it's the CBD area, but like, yeah, I was walking and they've got that, like, Delectable festival going on and all this cool stuff set up for that.
It was,
and
then, regional flavours as well, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Regional flavours, and, like, it's just so random, but, like, just walking in South Bank and you'll stumble upon this, or, like, if you go to the city, King George Square always has, like, 2 weeks ago or something, there was, like, a Scottish festival, and then, like,
yeah,
you know,
I
there's
think
the
one
cool
night I walked through and they were playing, they had, you know how they do those board game nights? Someone even said
had,
like, a huge version of
they
Hungry
had a,
Hippos.
Yeah, and I, yeah, they
I'd love
did.
To see how they did that.
And I'm pretty sure, like, I missed out, like, the area near the casino, I forget, I think it's called Brisbane Square, like,
yes,
I'm pretty sure they had dancing, like, old-style dancing, I can't remember the exact name for it, but, like, just ball dancing?
Ballroom dancing?
Swing dancing, yes, it was, like, okay. Swing dancing there, and it's like, how awesome. Bloody random is that, but it's so cool, like, I think if you're out in, probably not so much in the suburbs, but in, like, the CBD kind of section, there are always really cool things happening.
And a lot of free things too.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of free things. Like, we're so
well, I think
lucky.
We're becoming international as well. So I mentioned last Monday when we were live that there's an event that I got an invite to, and you have to know the right people to get the invites to this thing. It's called Dîner en Blanche, which is dinner in white. So it was originally held in France by just a guy and his friends. They went and set up white tables, white chairs. They wore all white, and they sat down with a picnic basket and had dinner in a public place. It then grew, and the last one in Paris was 15,000 strong. 15,000 people just mobbed the base of the Eiffel Tower. They set up tables and chairs, all white. They all wore white, and they brought white picnic baskets and sat down and had dinner. It's coming to Brisbane this year.
Oh, that's great.
And it's happening in a few other cities around the world, but you know, for Brisbane to get something like this, you know, it's just phenomenal. And it's one of those exclusive, rare, like weird things that you would never think of. And to be a part of it, you have to know part of that sort of inner circle, that subculture of Brisbane. And I think, yeah, maybe, Steph, you're right. Maybe it's not so much like a question of digging, but it's just about being active, I suppose.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that you are maybe right about. Like, we don't have it force-fed to us. And I think people in Queensland and people in Brisbane especially, and maybe one of the reasons why we get so feisty about it is because we've actually had to fight to, like, you know, we're not a cultural wasteland. And so, you know, you have to be active to look for it.
And if you're a creative person or somebody that wants to find these things, you'll find them.
You know,
you're
not gonna, you definitely will.
You know, you've got your people.
Don't be lazy and move to Melbourne. So lazy. Yeah.
No, that's what a lot of people say to me. Oh, you eventually, you're working up all your contacts or your experience so you can go down to Melbourne. I'm like, well, I'd have to start from the very bottom again. You know what I mean? And, whereas I think Brisbane, as we were saying, is coming into its own now. But in many ways, it probably always has been. I don't know. We've just always had that perception, I think. Or you know, we've been, you know, fed that perception. But I think, yeah, no, there's a lot of things out there that's great. And
well, one of the questions I wanted to ask you, Christian, was what's the future hold for you? What do you hope to do? And I think, you know, you've kind of answered that to a degree, but in a direct answer, what would you say you hope to do?
Well, I think the eventual aim is to have my own venue, but I think the word venue can be, I don't know, I've gone through, is it going to be a cinema? Is it going to be, look, I'd love to be the Andy Warhol of Brisbane. I always said I'd have this, just a warehouse that where we could do whatever, you know, we could have a dance party, we could have a pop-up restaurant, we could have, you know, all these different things. And actually someone said to me recently, which, you know, no one out there steal this idea, but I should rent out a house and just have a party going in each different room and screenings. And I'm like, knowing me, I'd live upstairs, you know. But I think it's just, for me, it's that. But I just don't think I've quite made it yet. I'm still learning quite a lot, and it's, you know, almost, you know, pretty much 12 years in a couple of months that I've been doing this. And I think, you know, I'm still learning. And at the moment, I'm writing a book actually about my experiences, and you know, because I've seen so many interesting things with audiences, and it's just, it's quite interesting to see
I can imagine you writing a PhD on this sort of stuff as well.
Like PhD in cult. That'd be great.
Well, I can imagine, like, the, you know, the subculture or something like that, because it's becoming a really important part of, I suppose, cultural, pop culture and communications. I've seen people writing about computer games as academics. I've seen people writing about, yeah, pop culture and, you know, the thing, like, you know, shows on TV, reality TV shows.
Superman.
Yeah, I can imagine.
One of my first year tutors did a thesis on A Bug's Life, which...
Oh, interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
I would have picked a slightly different movie.
Yeah, I was like, how do you explain that to your mother?
Maybe he thought the film needed more of a go.
Yeah. More of a Bug's Life.
But no, I can imagine a PhD thesis on subculture and understanding and mapping it.
Well, it's fascinating. Like, you know, doing these events for this year, I've seen some interesting things, and what makes people go to things, and you know, a lot of times you can say it's all about publicity, but sometimes it's all about, you know, totally things out of your control. You know, if that venue has a following of its own, or if you've got a following. And I said to someone once, I think, you know, what I want to be is a cult icon of Brisbane. And people said, you've been one for years. And I'm like going, oh, well, that takes away my ambition then, doesn't it? So, but no, definitely, you're not getting rid of me anytime soon. And I intend to stay in Brisbane and keep doing it, you know, so for many years to come. So
that's great to hear. I'm happy that, you know, everyone here, awesome. Larissa, everyone excited. Here is going to stay in Brisbane.
Yeah. Why are you signaling me? Not going anywhere.
Okay, good. I wasn't sure. I hadn't asked you that one.
She
directly.
Was the quiet one, so we just suspected you, Larissa.
I've never been called the Wiggins. Quiet one ever.
Wiggins.
On with the show.
Well, we might throw over to a song now. And I'm playing this song because just recently I mentioned that there is a band playing at River Stage soon, which is Mumford & Sons. And they're playing with Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. And I know this song has been fairly overplayed, but it got me excited about it. I think enough time has passed to play it again. So here is Little Lion Man by Mumford & Sons. You're on Jack Radio, and this is Drive.
I think enough time has passed.
Yeah.
Yourself, my man, you'll never be what is in your heart. Weep, little lion man, you're not as brave as you were at the start. Rate yourself and rake yourself, take all the courage you have left and waste it on the line. I really fucked it up this time, didn't I, my dear? Your fault but mine, and it was your heart on the line. I really fucked it up this time, didn't I, my dear? Didn't I, my dear?
I really love independent bands.
I love the current affairs.
I love sport.
Get to know what's on around the campus.
Jack Radio.
It's 5:29 and you're listening to Jack Radio News for Drive. I'm Nicole Rolls. Youth unemployment rates in Queensland are among the worst in Australia. Sunshine Coast youth unemployment has plummeted to 11.9%, the lowest in Queensland. The Australian Skills and Workforce Development Needs Report indicates companies would rather hire older, experienced employees than spend money training new, young workers. Currently, the report says the state's unemployment is 4% above the decade average. At least 130 people have been killed in Syria in just one day, after heavy clashes between Syrian troops and rebels around the country. Reports of the massive death toll come one day after the UN Security Council unanimously voted in favour of a 30-day extension of the supervision mission charged with overseeing a peace plan in Syria. More than 16,000 Syrians have been confirmed dead since the revolt against President Assad's regime began last year. In sport, South Sydney's Greg Inglis could be out for 5 weeks after being hit with a grade 4 dangerous contact charge by the NRL Match Review Committee. And Travis Burns of Penrith is facing a 16-week suspension after receiving 2 behavioural warnings following the clash against the Sydney Roosters on Sunday. It's 17 degrees right now and it'll get down to just 6 degrees in the city tonight. You've been listening to Jack Radio News on Drive. I'm Nicole Rolls.
Thanks, Nicole. So you're listening to Drive on Jack Radio. I'm Carl Smith, and on the bench with me are Larissa Willems and Steph Duras. And our special guest for today's episode is Christian Fletcher. He is one of the cult icons of Brisbane.
Oh, I like hearing that.
Yeah, he's been organising retro and vintage style events all the way through Brisbane for the last 12 years. And he has to run off fairly soon. But before you go, Christian, maybe you could give us, our listeners, a bit more information about where they can go to find details for your events.
Okay. For those of you on the web, you can visit christianfletcher.com. Now it's Christian with a K-R. Otherwise, you'll end up at some artist's website. I think we should just work together and get our hits back and forth. But yes, head to christianfletcher.com, and I pretty much run 1 to 2 events a week of all this sort of thing around Brisbane, and usually not at the same venue. Venues all over the place, and I'm slowly expanding more and more, and even soon, hopefully, we'll start doing some more pop-up things in venues that you wouldn't have even expected to. And just a quick note, on Friday the 14th of September, we're at the Chanel Cinema for an interactive double feature of Blues Brothers and Crybaby, another John Waters film. So right. If you are interested in seeing the movie, is with a little bit extra and a little bit more of an event, I definitely recommend getting along to that. And UQ students are only $12 for a double feature. Where do you pay that price nowadays? So that was christianfletcher.com, and join the mailing list and we'll be sure to keep you posted on the upcoming events, because as I said, there's always something happening and I'm not going anywhere anytime soon.
We'll have those details online on the Arts Hour blog, so that's just thearthour.wordpress.com, or on our Facebook page, because, yeah, we'd love you to support Christian and get along to more of those shows. So definitely check out our blog if you did not catch that just then.
Do you have a Facebook group for the cult following?
Very appropriate there. Yes, you best just jump onto the website and there is a link there too. But add me as a friend, because that'll be I'll be able to send you updates all the time. Because as I said, I have things on all the time. So much so, I even have to have a piece of paper here to remember them all. So there's always a chance to get your cult on somewhere in Brisbane. So I look forward to seeing yourselves and listeners very soon at all my events. So
fantastic. All right, now we're going to finish this live edition of Arts Hour with a new segment called Lit Fix. Lit Fix is something that was inspired by Anna Paxton. She's a second year student here at the University of Queensland, and she's a confessed bookworm. She likes books and poetry. And she said that every week she wanted to help us out by putting together a 5-minute review of a poem or a book that she's been reading lately. So I interviewed her earlier today, and we talked about Lewis Carroll's poem, The Jabberwocky. It's a nonsense poem, but I'll let Anna explain it in this interview that I recorded earlier today. So this is Lit Fix as part of Arts Hour. Hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome to Lit Fix, the special section of Arts Hour where we pick apart a book or a poem with Anna Paxton. Welcome, Anna.
Hello.
Now, today Anna's chosen for us The Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll. It's a fairly absurd poem, and we're going to start today's Lit Fix with Anna reading The Jabberwocky for us.
'Twas brilling, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub birds, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the maxome foam he sought. So rested he by the tum-tum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock, with eyes of flame, came whiffling through the tuggly woods, and burbled as it came. One, two, and through, the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with his head he went galumphing back. And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy. Of frabjous day, calloo-callay, he chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogoves, and the mome raths outgrabe.
Now, Anna, what does that mean?
It can be read a few different ways.
Mm-hmm.
First and foremost, it is a nonsense poem.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that it doesn't have to make a lot of sense. That's why Lewis Carroll was such a good writer for children. Mm. But what makes him even more special is that we can read into his fairy tales for children.
Yeah.
And this is actually a parody of Anglo-Saxon verse. So take, for example, Beowulf. It's the story of a hero going out to slay a villain. Here we have the boy, a young boy, going out when he's warned by his father, the masculine figure in the family, specifically not to, because he may die if he goes into the woods. But he goes anyway, and he slays the beast, and he comes back victorious.
Mm.
What makes it such a parody, I think, is the way that he comes back. He comes galumphing back. He's a beamish boy. He's not a strong hero. He's not, you know, in Beowulf we see the strong hero with the crowns and the jewels. Here he comes galumphing back, his beamish boy. He gives his son a hug and they go on with life. I think that's what makes it so great.
And am I right in saying that, you know, in this nonsense poem, Carroll just made up words?
He did. What I find amusing is that, take for example the word brillig. Mm. Now, some people see it as the time of day where the meat starts to be boiled, so that's at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But I was reading it, and I'm a vegetarian, so that doesn't resonate with me.
Mm.
I think brillig, and I think brilliant, and I think bright light. So I think it's just really good in a nonsense poem how different things can mean different things to different people.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, like the it's because it's nonsense, it's interpretable on many different levels. And like you say, it resonates with children, I suppose, because they have such a vivid imagination. They can make whatever they want out of it. Now, in terms of the, I suppose, the themes of this poem, what is Carol trying to explore?
Okay, so like I said, it's a parody of an Anglo-Saxon kind of verse poem. The themes in that are often masculinity and good versus evil. We do see that here, how the boy goes against what his father advises and he comes back victorious in order to prove his masculinity. But I think even more so in this, we see man versus the natural world, and we see the boy going into the woods and fighting the unknown and coming out victorious. And I think that with the time that it was written in Victorian England, and how it was very conservative and prim and proper, and Carol goes against this. I also think it's interesting, Carol, when he was in his social circles at about 25 years of age, he was in with the Pre-Raphaelites, who were, of the controversial art movement. And they themselves used to make up funny words like, I think it was sloshy, which described one of the art teachers, which they didn't like. And that came to mean someone who was commonplace and conventional. So, yeah, I think a lot of their cynicism probably rubbed off on Carol, and he was able to present it through his poetry and through his works.
Great. Now, in terms of where this poem sort of fits into Carol's writing then, this was published in the sequel to Alice in Wonderland. And I read as well that the first sort of stanza in this poem was written in a publication that Carol created for his family called MiskMash, so as in miscellaneous mash. So this idea must have been worked on in his head for quite some time before he put it down into that sequel to Alice in Wonderland, right?
I would say so, yes. And the first stanza and the last stanza are the same, obviously. And they are quite a bit different. They've got a lot more made-up words than the rest of the poem. The rest of it's obviously a story, and the first and last stanza there, they really set the kind of tone and the mood and the imagery for the whole poem. So I think that's probably how he was able to get the actual story in there. So, yeah, he would have been thinking on it for a while, I think.
Okay. Well, we might leave it there for now. Thank you very much for reading us and then exploring the Jabberwocky, Anna. And you'll be joining us again next week for Litfix.
I will. Thank you very much.
Farewell. So that was our first edition of Litfix, which is where Anna Paxton and I pick apart a poem or a book. And that was The Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll, which was it was a section, a poem section within the sequel to Alice in Wonderland. Now we're going to pass over to Larissa, and she's going to take us through a couple of her favourite albums for this week, and that should take us through to 6 o'clock and the end of Drive.